This is Tom Browning.
This is Pat Lackey.
This is Raquel Aurelia.
My name is Kurt Evans.
This is Rich Aurelia.
Hi, hello, and welcome, everybody. This is George Grant of the Cincinnati Reds, and welcome. You're listening to the Red Hot Broadcast on RedHotMama.com.
Welcome, baseball fans. You're listening to the Red Hot Broadcast on Red-Hot-Mama.com. This is episode number 96. Number 96. On March 22nd of 2008, I'm your host, Amanda, and with me is the crack technical staff. Welcome to the show, Johnny.
Hello.
Can you believe we're on episode number 96?
Time flies when we're
talking
gathering.
About nothing.
Yeah.
With us on the program today, we have the famous Lambo of the AstroCast. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Amanda and Johnny.
So, how about them Astros?
Oh, where do you want to start?
How about the things that have changed since last season?
Well,
changes for the better, changes for the worse.
Who's in? Who's out?
Yeah.
Well, when you look at the roster that we had at the end of the World Series, the 2005 team, I think there's three, four people still on the roster from that team.
Is that all?
That's how much change has happened, and most of which in the last season.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
So all those people are gone. Are they all retired? Were they all traded? Did they free agents? Or
combination of both. Of course, I think you all pretty much well aware of what happened with, you know, Roger and Andy Pettit. They both went back to New York.
Yeah.
Jason Lane and Morgan Linsberg, who we thought was probably going to hold those positions for years, just all of a sudden in 2006. Seem to forget how to swing a bat, and they both ended up in San Diego, and with the trade of Tejada, Adam Everett was released and was picked up by the Twins, and Brad Lidge was traded to bring in Michael Bourne. He pretty much, he hasn't been the same since that home run he allowed to Pujols, so there's a lot going on with this club over the last, I mean, we've nicknamed Ed Wade Trader Ed.
Do you think that he's leveraged his trading power well?
Well, I think he's been very effective. I think the problem is Drayton. Okay, when Ed Wade was hired at the end of the season last year, he basically got a club that wasn't hitting, wasn't good on pitching. Questionable defense, which of course, that's not a way to win games, and also quite blunt, probably the worst farm system in the majors.
That's what I've heard.
Most teams in that situation would say, well, I guess it's time to rebuild, but the owner, Drayton McClain, wants to be competitive every year. So the dictate was, well, I want to win. So Ed Wade got really creative and brought some players in here. The offense, I think, is going to be much improved. The bullpen is going to be improved. Defense has been improved. But the biggest question is still going to be the starting rotation. And quite honestly, the farm system still needs to be rebuilt.
What about that rotation? You've got Roy Oswalt again, who's one of the best in the Central,
yeah,
if not all of the majors. But who else beyond him?
Well, I think if Roy stays healthy, he's going to be a Cy Young candidate at the end of the year. He's that good. I'll put him up against anybody in the National League Central. The number two right now looks like it's going to go to Brandon Backe, who so far has not shown that he could do it during the course of the season. He has never pitched 200 innings, but he's pitched extremely well in the playoffs. And with those two National League Championship Series against the Cards, and I think one of the games against the White Sox in the World Series, he's pitched very well. But he hasn't been able to show that he can stay healthy or go the long term during the regular season. The number three is most likely going to be Wandy Rodriguez. And he's got some good stuff. He took a major step up last year. He was one of the best pitchers playing at home in the top five, but he also was like one of the worst on the road.
And not a good combination. Well, I mean, half of it,
yeah,
is.
So they're hoping he can take a step up and be more consistent. Now, one thing I thought was kind of interesting, I heard Roy Oswalt in an interview last week talking about both Vacky and Wandy, and Roy said that he told Vacky, I don't care what you have to do, find a way to pitch 200 innings. Don't worry about the wins, don't worry about the losses, just get those 200 innings. And he also said about Wandy, he said Wandy has great stuff, it's just his problem is if he gets in a little bit of a jam, he tries a little too hard. He tries to throw a little bit more on that fastball or trying to make his curveball break harder instead of just pitching and maybe just trying to coax a ground ball for a double play or something. And I think right there, those two players are going to be the key for the Astros season, because I think if they play up to expectations with how weak the NL Central is, I think it's only going to take about 85, 86 wins to win the Central. We have a shot. If those two don't, it's going to be a long year for us.
How about behind the rotation? How's the bullpen looking?
I think it's going to be improved with, for us getting Valverde from Arizona. I mean, he did lead the saves last year. We also got Valerio from Atlanta. I think he's going to kind of fall in the step-up role. The only concern that I have as far as the bullpen is the quote-unquote left-handed specialist. I mean, we've got Doug Burkrell. I just don't have much faith in him personally, but most bullpens have that same problem. I mean, it's finding a quality left-handed reliever that can get people like Ken Griffey Jr. out is hard, and hard to find. It's not like you can kick a rock and find one.
True enough. That's a problem everyone has, isn't it?
Pretty much, yep.
So is are Astros fans happy that Lidge is no longer the closer?
Yes. I know two people who, when they heard of the trade that sent him to Philly, wanted to throw a party, which I thought was kind of sad, because, I mean, there was a 2-year period that Brad Lidge was probably arguably the best closer in the game, but ever since Pujols hit that home run off of him, he just was never the same.
That's kind of how it goes with closers, isn't it? You got about 2 years.
Yeah, it does seem that way.
So. But like I said, I mean, Breenan, the offense is definitely much improved. Breenan with Tejada over. But still, there's kind of question marks about him because his numbers have kind of gone down the last couple of years. And to be fair to him, too, he did have a wrist injury last year. But I did hear one scout talking about how Minute Maid Park is perfectly designed for Tejada, because we've got that short porch and left, and he could have a bounce back year because of that.
I hear his defense is atrocious.
Definitely a big drop off compared to Adam Everett, that's for sure. I think he's a little above average, to be honest with you. I don't, but I think Astros fans are always very critical of Adam Everett. We're going to see how much we miss him next year, because there were just some plays that Everett got that most shortstops would never get. And I think Tejada's going to boot one on occasion, that's for sure.
What about the Tejada's appearance in the Mitchell Report? Has there been much play given to that, or has he been stymied by that during spring, or is that going smoothly with the team?
It seems like it's one of the things you don't hear that much about. I mean, it was a big brouhaha with the Mitchell report, but it seems like since most of the focus seems to be on Roger Clemens, he seems to be falling under the radar. The commissioner was threatening to penalize some of the current players, but that's been quieted down a lot too. So to be blunt honest, I have no idea where this is going to go as far as him.
Clemens does have a way of drawing attention to himself, doesn't he?
He does.
How about the rest of the rest of the lineup? Tejada.
Okay. Well, there is some discussion about how the lineup is going to be. Like I said, we traded for Michael Bourne, who's going to be his first season in the majors. It's going to be the starting center fielder. The one thing that surprised me a little bit about him in spring training, but then again, I'll have to say that again, spring training, he seems to have a little bit more pop in his bat than I was expecting. He very solid defense. He looks like he's going to be a good number one. Can he prove that on an everyday basis against major league pitching? We still have to see. There's been some debate about who's going to be in the two-hole with Kaz Mazzui or Hunter Pence. Personally, I prefer Hunter Pence. If he stayed healthy last year, if he didn't have that one injury, he probably would have been Rookie of the Year last year.
Right, and Pence also doesn't make as many outs as Matsui. So.
Right. And if there's one trade that Edway made, one time I should say, it was the Matsui deal. I was a little bit kind of leery about his road hitting is just pathetic. I mean, he hit well in Colorado, but outside of Colorado, he didn't really show much. So that deal I'm a little leery of. But he is a good defensive player. But I'd much rather see him further down the order and have Hunter Pence in the two-hole. That kid's exciting. He seems like he plays the game like a little leaguer, which is really fun to watch.
And, you know, he runs through glass doors, too, so.
Yeah.
Man of steel.
There you go.
Yeah. And, of course, in the third hole, it's going to be Lance Berkman, who's, you know, pretty much an MVP candidate year in and year out. He should hit the 30 to 40 home run area if he stays healthy. Carlos Lee, then Tejada. I mean, one thing Lee impressed me last year, one thing he does very well, he's a very good two-strike hitter. And those players seem to be, you know, few and far between. He just seems to have a knack of shorten up the strike zone and seem like it just seems to be able to fight for a hit in that situation. We haven't really had that since, second baseman, Kent, ever since Jeff Kent left. But I think every lineup needs that one guy who's a really good two-strike hitter, and Carlos Lee showed that he could do that. And then most likely Tejada. We have Ty Wigginton at third. He's good. He's not great. But he's consistent. Then another kid to keep an eye on, which I know a lot of fantasy players are real high on, is J.R. Tolos, who's going to be our new catcher, everyday catcher next year. The kid can hit. So I definitely would keep an eye on him.
So how are you looking for catchers?
Well, we re-signed Brad Ausmus, and I think Ausmus is kind of falling more into a coach slash manager role for Tolos. This is going to be Tolos' first year up totally. So I think those two are going to stay on. Now, right now, there's some debate whether or not the Astros are going to keep three catchers or not, which Quinto is doing a really, really good job hitting. So, and since Matsui is going to start on the DL, we may start the season with three catchers. But I think once Matsui comes back, I think Quintero is going to go back down or probably be... unfortunately, if we send him down, he's going to have to clear waivers, and that's going to be kind of a scary thing because probably another team can pick him up.
So how do you feel about the prospect of starting the season with three catchers?
Well, with Matsui on the DL, I really don't have a problem with that. Fortunately, our bench is pretty strong because we got both Loretta and Jeff Blum, who can play multiple positions in the infield. And Jeff Blum is kind of nice in the sense he's also a switch hitter, which is not going to make another interesting aspect because Jose Cruz Jr. is probably going to make the club as well. But as an extra outfielder, he can play almost every position in the outfield. And he's also a switch hitter, so that's going to give us a lot of flexibility on the bench.
Sounds pretty good.
Mm-hmm. So, I think the key with the Astros is, are they going to get any production out of that number two or that number three part of the starting rotation? If we do, you know, we could challenge for the Central. If not, this is going to be a long season for us.
Right, and with Brandon Bakke there coming off of his injuries over the last couple years, it'll be difficult for him to make that 200 anything, which places more pressure on the bullpen.
Exactly. Johnny, you hit the nail on the head right there. But, you know, the Central is so crazy this year. Like I said, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if the winner wins like 85 or 86 games. I think there's four teams that you can, you know, kind of make an argument that have a shot. I think the only two teams I think that don't have a shot are the Pirates and the Cardinals. I think the other four teams, including the Reds, Brewers and Cubs, I think, you know, all those teams have question marks, but if the dice roll a certain way, any one of those four teams can easily win the Central next year.
So, do you think the Astros will do it?
Yeah, what's your sense? Is it all going to come together for the team?
My gut would say I think we're going to be third.
I feel like there's a lot of third-place teams in the Central this year.
It does feel that way.
Well, that's the problem.
Yeah.
I mean, there really isn't a first-place team in the Central.
Maybe there'll be a six-way tie.
A six-way tie for third.
Yes.
I think it would only be a four-way tie for third, fifth and sixth. Yeah.
I mean,
I'm not sure how that
works. I think the Reds, Cubs, Brewers, Astros. I think if the dice roll right for any four of those, any one of them could win.
And, you know, with the way that things go, they'll probably roll right into the World Series.
Well, I mean, you know, the Diamondbacks proved, you know, a few years ago, if you got two very good pitchers and above average hitting, you can do it.
Yeah, and you see a couple teams like that in the Central.
Yep.
It totally could happen.
And the Astros do look like they'll have above average hitting this year, which will be different, really. They've had, over the past few years, more pitching than hitting, it seems.
Yeah, it's almost like a complete negative image from a mirror or something. It's this team compared to past teams. I mean, you know, but yeah, it's definitely going to be a much more. Instead of losing 2-1, we're hoping that we're going to win 8-7. I think,
That'll make the games longer, so increase the beer sales.
Yeah,
always a benefit.
Drayton will definitely, you know, enjoy the extra revenue from beer sales, I'm sure.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, in you know, blankets if it gets late into the evening and it gets chilly out there. So tell us about the AstroCast. How what are you ramping up? What are you preparing for this season?
Well, I mean, it's Astro fan based podcast, as you all know. It's also a blog. People can post stuff up there. Unfortunately, over the off season, we kind of got a little lazy posting articles, but I'm hoping we can get back into swing things once the season is going to start. You know, we have a voicemail line. We occasionally have voicemail shows. We usually do one or two shows each season at one of the local pubs and just kind of hang out there. That's always been a lot of fun. So it's you know, simple little podcast and blog, and you know, my co-host Kay Carr and I, we just try to have fun with it.
And not to let it give anything away, but there's tentative plans that the Red Hot broadcast may make a guest appearance on the AstroCast while we're in Texas.
Oh yeah, we're keeping our fingers crossed on that.
I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a great trip.
We're by the host here, so.
Well, that's that Texas hospitality. So, is there anything else that we need to add on the Astros before we wrap this one up?
That's all I got.
I think it's going to be a great season.
It'll be a fun one.
Thanks a lot for being on the show.
Oh, you're welcome, and thanks for having me.
And thanks to everyone for listening. Hang on in there, and we'll see you at the ballpark.
Show your love for this show by leaving a comment on iTunes, or leave your own rant about the dysfunctional NL Central on our website at red-hot-mama.com.